today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
That's why the work is so important, but you can't do the work if you've never been welcome. You don't have a sense of connectedness and belonging. You don't worship God at all. You're looking around like it's strange. Get involved. Close your eyes if you get distracted and lift up your own hands and give God the glory. I want every man and every woman to hear this message. This is the year where we're going to worship our way through. Then you'll get the word of God. It will explode in your soul. You will see impact. Watch this, as unto the Lord.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for today's message, Stewardship 101. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis 39, verses 1 through 7.
One of the things God wants to do, and you can tell when you start growing in God, even if everybody walked away from you, you are not alone. And you don't need me to coach you there. Sometimes God wants you to be alone physically because he's trying to do something corporately in your soul. And he will isolate you before he takes you to his people. It's natural for you to feel alone sometimes, but by faith we know we're not alone. He will never leave you. Help me, somebody. Or he will never forsake you. Holy Ghost is always watching over you. But there are times where he will separate himself or make you feel that way because he's trying to do something corporately inside of you. Glory to God. And this joke, I believe it was Jacob, he was afraid of Esau coming. The Bible said he divided his clan. Don't ever divide your family. I said, don't ever divide your family. Jacob was afraid of his brother Esau, and he divided his family. Those he loved the most, he put in the back. He stuck Leah and her children out front. But he loved Rachel and her children, and he stuck them in the back. And if you're not careful, you'll have favorites. But when you're leading God's people, you can't have none. We're all one in Christ. Can somebody say amen? And the Bible says he divided his family and he crossed the ford of Jabbok, and there he was left alone. And it was in God's plan for him to be left alone. And there he wrestled with an angel all night long. In that process, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And if you want a transformation in your life, you got to learn how to deal with your I'm all alone. Because God at times will let it happen because he's trying to get something to you that's going to affect you corporately. Oh, hallelujah. The word is so important, and God is jealous of this word time. It's been neglected, hadn't been managed well. We're not in the scriptures, I can tell. We drift too much. We're more secular than we are sacred. Believe me, I'm human and I understand that. I'm not trying to say I'm some angelic being. We all walk through things. But believe me, you need a base in your life, and it is the word of God. My job is to teach you how to get closer to God, not to become your God. The fourth dimension is the witness. Here's the sick one. Jesus goes to Bethany, and there he meets three: Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Mary represents the worship in the house. Martha represents the work. We're going to get there. And Lazarus represents the witness. The worship is where it needs to be. And I'm believing God that he's going to bring our church to where it needs to be through this stewardship message. Our church is going to be in the proximity and the place that God wants it to be as it relates to worship. It's going to another dimension. Word is so important. Glory to God. Word and worship, there's a covenant that is bringing the word and the worship together here at Truth Revealed. And you see it in Bethany at Lazarus, Mary and Martha's house. that Mary represents the word and the worship. Jesus is teaching her the word and she's at his feet worshiping him. And as the word comes forth, your worship should go to another level. Glory to God. But Lazarus is in the room sick. He's coughing. He's too sick to get out of the bed and to sit at his feet. And he's too weak to work to get the house clean. And I see the witness in our ministry being sick. It's coughing. What do you do when you leave ministry? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is there any witness in your soul? Are you bearing witness to what God filled you up with here in the ministry? Do you even visit the word? Or are you waiting for the next move? Who did you tell about Jesus? Who did you speak to for the last 6 days? Who did you help to come into the light? Who did you invite to your ministry? If all of us did it 7 times, we wouldn't have room to receive the people. That's why I know there's no witness. The witness is coughing in the room. God is trying to resurrect the witness here at Truth Reveal to where we're not sick in the room somewhere, we're at his feet. The witness needs to be empowered to do the work of ministry. Why are we afraid and embarrassed to say we're believers? When was the last time that you told someone that you love Jesus? When was the last time that you stopped trying to teach somebody word and just witness to what the Lord has done for you? You don't have to be an expert in the word to witness. There's a lot of people want to join clans and join groups and want to teach folk, but you've never been taught yourself. What can you convey if you've never sat down? Why would you be in the 9th grade, but you want to teach at a scholastic level? You don't have enough yet to blow your nose. You need to be taught. I'm not saying young people can't teach, but really you need a witness. Holy Ghost filled you yet? Have you gotten rid of the gunji? You hanging out with strange groups? Compromising? Joining other tribes? When's the last time you bore witness to the purity of the gospel? As Paul said to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them which believe. Where's the stewardship level over the witness of our church or your personal relationship with God? This year, you should say 12 is coming to know who Jesus is through my life. 12 are going to do exactly, this is G12, 12 are going to do exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to witness, I'm going to share, I'm going to do what God has called me to do until I have 12 that are working with me, sit on the same row that I sit on, come to the same ministry that I go to, give just like I give, follow me as I follow Christ. You will see the church join or grow exponentially if all of us became better witnesses. Come on, Kurt Franklin, can I get a witness? Oh, yeah, we haven't church. We ain't going nowhere. I said, can I get a witness? That's right. You're going to say, oh, yeah. Can I get a witness? Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah, we haven't church and we ain't going nowhere. Witnesses don't fly by night. Once you testify what you know, you can stand assured. Once God put you on the witness stand, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you. You don't have to tell something you don't know. What did your eyes see? You know what? I was once blind, but now I see. I was in the world. I was tore up from the floor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus turned my life around, and he will turn yours around. I got a word. I joined a ministry that's connected to God. I want you to come with me. The problems that you have won't be fixed because I'm with you. The problems that you have will be fixed when you get with Jesus. So come with me. Operation Andrew, come with me. Come with me. Come with me. Come with me. I want to show you someone. I met somebody that changed my life. Peter didn't just walk up to Jesus. His brother Andrew told him about Jesus. And then Andrew met Jesus and everything shifted in his life. Last but not least, the work. People are trying to do the work of ministry. They've never been welcome. They don't know the worship. They don't understand that God needs to be magnified. They don't know his names. And in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there is no distinction between title and name. Unto us, a son is born. Unto us, a son is given. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. There is no distinction between title and name in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Teacher is a name as well as a title. So Jesus will come on the scene. They will say, "Teacher, Rabboni." He knew who they were talking to. That's why people caught up in being baptized in the name of Jesus only. You don't understand. There's no distinction between title and name. Father is a title and a name. Son is a title and a name. Holy Spirit is a title and a name. Glory to God. And the authority of Jesus, you're baptized. Glory to God. Don't let that mess you up. Even when you go in the pool today, the three candidates for baptism. Glory to God. In the name and by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you, and we use Matthew 28 as well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism and raised together in newness of life. Why do we do that? We cover both Acts 2 and Matthew 28. So none of y'all will have no excuses. Well, you got to get baptized again because you didn't do it in Jesus' name only. Get out of here with that. We cover all of the word. There's no distinction between title and name. Get lost with that. Get with a ministry that understands what time it is. Jesus is the reason for the season, yes. But we cover both scriptures, Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 2. And if you're following Peter and you're a black man, he would have told you to get out of there because he was prejudiced when he preached that message. His prejudice wasn't shifted until Acts chapter 10. He would have said, "This is not for you, it's for the Jews only." Good God from dying. Y'all following Peter. Peter was a novice. How many of you preached when you were 2 years old or just got saved? You listened to that message, you said, "My God, I couldn't believe I was that ignorant." I listened to some of the messages I preached when I was a young minister. I'm like, whoa, even though it was the word, there are things I said, I didn't have theology. The Bible records what he says, but you're not following a young preacher like that. He did say it, but he is fallible. He doesn't shift in his prejudice until Acts chapter 10. Glory to God. To let us all know, God can use anybody. That's why the work is so important, but you can't do the work if you've never been welcome. You don't have a sense of connectedness and belonging. You don't worship God at all. You're looking around like it's strange. You get involved, close your eyes if you get distracted and lift up your own hands and give God the glory. I want every man and every woman to hear this message. This is the year where we're going to worship our way through. Then you'll get the word of God. It will explode in your soul. You will see impact. And the witness will get out of the room of sickness. And then we all will be able to do the work of the kingdom. Watch this, as unto the Lord. There are two things, and I'll close this because I got a lot to say. I may have to do part two of this at 11 and not deal with the 11 a.m. service message. I have another word for you all, but I may have to do that a little later and finish this at 11. Stewardship covers two things. Number one, stewarding people and stewarding the order of God. Stewarding people as Joseph did in Potiphar's house. The only thing Potiphar had to worry about is what he put in his mouth. Joseph was that acute as a steward. So we steward people and we steward order. The Bible, especially the New Testament, is replete with examples of stewardship or stewarding people. Paul had a son by the name of Timothy that he helped to steward or to shape. He stewarded the young pastor. He made sure the pastor had everything he needs. And the pastoral books are 1st and 2nd Timothy. If you're a pastor, you need to know them. All leaders in our ministry that are pastoral, a part of the pastoral care of our church, need to be experts in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Glory to God. You will see the connectedness and how the young pastor is to relate to the people of God. The Old Testament picture is in Numbers. So you read the book of Numbers and then 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and you will be able to help steward the people of God better. Old Testament Numbers, New Testament Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy. You will be more equipped to help me to do the ministry in pastoral care here in the ministry. Whether that is congregational care or inspirational care, helping with those who passed away and those families that are bereaving, going through bereavement, as well as reaching out to people in evangelism and taking care of the fellowships here in the ministry to make sure our people are healthy. That's what's important. Help me to work with these people, and you'll be able to get the nectar of that if you read those passages. Continue to pray for James Cook, who lost his father. And our pastoral ministry is now helping James, or at least working with him as he goes through that bereavement. And for those of us that lost loved ones, we know what that is. There was a time where I had to do all of that alone. I mean, going to every sick bed and doing all of that until God shifted, like he did with Exodus in Exodus 17 at Rephidim. People begin to cry and say, well, he didn't do it for me, and he didn't do it for me, and he wasn't there for me. And they don't understand that nobody can be in every place at once. And on a Saturday, one of our members was dying, and she called for me. Virginia Monroe, as she was dying, and I was teaching a new members class, and I made a decision to finish the class and then go to her dying bed. And when I got there, she had just passed away. And the lady that was there kept saying, if you had been here, she was calling for you, why didn't you come? And I said, this is not the time. This is not the spot. This is not the place. But you should have been here. She was calling for you. And I realized that I need to broaden ministry now. I've been to her house at least 8 times, but you didn't know that because I didn't push it. And instead of you being an extension of the ministry, you were there on your own. I was there, but you weren't there when you should have been an extension of the pastoral ministry. To then you would have said, Mother, he's not here, but he sent me here to represent him. That's why his behalf. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. And that's why when you join a ministry, you can't be on your own. You got to be connected as an extension of the pastoral ministry. Instead of saying, I'm there, I'm your pastor. You're not their pastor. Nobody can even clap their hands for you. Get a little accolade. All of a sudden, you're trying to start your own ministry. Oh, I'm preaching today. Oh, my God. Are you a good steward over people? Knowing that they're not yours, you're there to manage someone else's? Joseph never took ownership of Potiphar's house, but you better believe he recognized the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. The scripture is clear. Potiphar's house was blessed because of the young slave. Woo, Jesus. It doesn't matter the bondage that's in your heart or the bondage that's in your life. Continue to serve God's people. God will eventually set you free. And in 1 hour, Joseph comes out of the dungeons and becomes Zaphnath Paneah, the savior of Egypt. Woo, Jesus. But his ability to be Zaphnath came as he was a steward over Potiphar's house. Woo, Jesus. And the Bible is replete with these things. Please know it. Luke was also tied to Paul. Barnabas and Paul. You see these maturation, stewardship. Barnabas is the one that made sure the church wasn't afraid of Paul. You never would have seen him blossom if there wasn't a Barnabas. And we need that Barnabas anointing in our house of God. And after a while, Paul began to grow in ministry. And you'll see Luke record, not Barnabas and Saul or Barnabas and Paul. He'll start saying Paul and Barnabas. That means Paul's gifts begin to grow. And then Luke records Paul's gifts growing, and Barnabas had to take a second seat to the young man that's now becoming chief, the chief speaker. And that's where the church gets hurt. Because God will raise up somebody to do a little better than you. Can you let them take the lead? Can you let them take the lead when it's time for them to step up? Can they take the lead and you clap your hands as they clap their hands for you? Or do we become territorial, like we locked it down and nobody else can do ministry but us? Ah, help me, Jesus. And we see the maturity of ministry as we learn how to be stewards of people. Last but not least, the stewardship order. We steward order. You always embrace order. From the very beginning of creation, God instructed his people to take dominion. We like that term, to take dominion, to take charge of his creation. He made male and female and told them to take dominion over his creation. One of the things Adam did is to name the animals. Why did he name the animals? Because he's creating order and structure in the animal kingdom. Naming all of them, every single one of them, from the alligator to the insect, from the insect to the birds, to the fowl of the air, from the fowl of the air to mammals, even to sea creatures. Why would he name all of them? He's providing order for the structure. In other words, as I name you, you will stay within the scope of your name. Good God from Zion. Fowl of the air are supposed to fly. They're not supposed to crawl. The raptor is supposed to fly, not crawl. Supposed to nest and to see things from an aerial view. And the alligator is amphibious. It's supposed to be on land as well as in the sea, but not the bird. He's creating order. Glory to God. He's letting the animal kingdom know their role and their impact in the world. He's presiding over Eden, which was replete with the glory of God. Our job is to return back to Eden with the glory, to be fruitful and to multiply, or to increase Eden around the world. Why would God need order over his world? Because the world was wild without dominion. And your life will be wild without stewardship. Our church will go into the wild without stewardship. My job is not to try to go around plucking up wheat and plucking up tares and trying to do all of that. That's not my job. It's his job. My job is to stand and make sure that we take dominion over the atmosphere. But if we don't steward order, you will see the wild increase. That's why your money is funny. Because there ain't no order. Oh, help me, Jesus. The more we become stewards, the more order you'll see, and everything will regulate. There's an order to politics. There's an order to medicine. There's an order, glory to God, to family. There's an order to government. There's an order to the church, and there should be order over your monies. Why would you be wild there, but you want order in your house? Submit, woman, submit. But you want to spend money any kind of way you want. Y'all quiet now, and I'll go ahead and close with that. I'll come back at 11. Amen. Everybody like, whoa, my money is wild.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from Stewardship 101, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-0608. That's reference number 2202-0608. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with Truth Revealed International Ministries. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with Trim Nation by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. The Truth Revealed app is available on Android and Apple mobile devices. Services can also be watched on Facebook, YouTube, Apple TV, and Roku.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. It's time to apply for a paid part-time summer job and get free work skills training. Log on to careersourcebrevard.com or check out the link in the Truth Reveal app and apply by May 7th. The spring edition of Revealed Magazine is themed A Living Hope and is available on our website, truthrevealed.org. Download a copy for yourself or someone. Ladies, remember to join Pastor Sabrina Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary for Women's Sunday School. New members' classes are still in session, and you can complete your orientation lessons virtually. Email connect@truthrevealed.org to get started.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.